Go ahead. We're live. So,
I'm glad you didn't catch that burp.
I know. You speak up a little bit more.
Yes, this is my first time.
Okay. Welcome to the At Home. That's not what the podcast is called. Whoops. Welcome to At the Table. It's your host Carlos Sims here, and I am joined by the lovely, radiant, beautiful.
Okay, stop it.
Baby mama, no, I'm joking. I'm joined by
You're not joking.
No, she is my baby mama. My baby's mamas. my wife. Caitlin Sims. Kate, say hello.
Hello.
All right. So, just to be real, we have no idea what we're doing on the podcast. So, we, like I said in the first episode, I just want to, you know, have an outlet for me to process stuff out loud. And like I said, I'll bring other people on maybe. But if this goes well, then it just may be me and Caitlin. So, today, though, we want to talk about something that I think that most couples struggle with. And one of those things that you hear in premarital counseling that not me, like you hear that, you know, this is going to be a sticky point. And you're like, yeah. All right, what's the real stuff? And then you get married and it's like the sticky stuff, you know, and that is finances, money, moolah, dinero. So. I know that song. Oh, maybe I'll play. Maybe I'll find a little clip of that and put it in here. but Caitlin and I come from very, very different financial backgrounds, and even how we view money. And so I thought it'd be super beneficial for us to just process one, you know, talk about where we come from, but then two, what we've experienced in marriage. We've only been married 5 years, so I mean, or going on five
almost.
Years.
Almost.
Going on 5 years.
A lifetime.
I know. It feels so much longer than that.
In a good way.
So we're explaining where we come from, I guess, backgrounds, and then like just what that's been like coming together, and then like what we've learned in the almost 5 years that we've been married. I have learned a lot about myself and and how I mismanage money, how I misview money, and then honestly just like how I haven't considered you in the way that I handle money. And so I think hopefully this is beneficial. But like we all, I'm like losing my brain right now. Like I did last week. What are you drinking on right now, Caitlin?
Some honey vanilla chamomile.
Honey vanilla chamomile. That's what I have too. It's
that's what he thinks.
I thought it was a little spicy. It's 8:34 here in Des Moines, Iowa, and we are parents of two under four, and so it is late for us, so we're just using this chamomile tea to calm the nerves a little bit and hopefully foster some conversation. So without further ado, Kate, what was it like looking at money, viewing money growing up? Like, explain that. We've talked about it a little bit, but yeah, explain kind of your background with dealing with money.
Well, I feel like my younger years, I didn't deal with money. It was there. I would say as a young child, it was like not a worry, not a care. It wasn't really something I thought about. too much.
Like, you feel like everything was provided for you? Or?
Yeah, and even in excess.
Okay.
You know, there wasn't a worry there until the great divorce. Mm-hmm. No, and well, you know, whatever. But when my parents got divorced, then I got to see it because my mom, you know, was stay at home with us and, you know, she had to go back to work and provide for us.
Yeah.
And really for me. I mean, my sister was there and brother, but they're 8 and 6 years older than I am. So I was kind of in the muck and mire.
How old were you when that happened?
10.
So you're like just leaving.
Just leaving school. Yeah.
Heading well, into middle school. Mm-hmm. Probably the worst time to go through that stuff. And like, it's like the financial
identity crisis.
Yeah, like the financial rug is like swept. It's like pulled from underneath your feet. And yeah. So yeah, what was that like navigating that?
I think my mom tried to do a really good job, the best she could. Still kind of trying to protect me in a way from, I don't know, anything from like being bullied at school to just, you know, providing what she could, what we needed, our basic needs. And if she had a little extra, then she would. And I mean, shoot, at 10, I started babysitting my cousins, my little cousins. Not really for the money source, but kind of for the independent source.
Okay.
I'm very independent.
Yeah.
As we've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember noticing that when we were dating at Georgia Southern, like, or even before we were dating, like, there was just this, like, I'm going to do things on my own. And I remember, you know, we started dating and then I started, like, getting to know you a little bit more and not really realizing that, like, you were, like, financially, like, on your own.
Yeah.
Like,
I had some help just with agreements that were made.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had to pay for my first semester of college for things to fall into place like they did. But yes, I was on my own.
So that financial independence kind of, it started, you know, at a young age, like feeling the need to like, hey, like I have to do this. Like it's not going to be provided for me anymore. How do you feel like, that crucial moment has formed,
molded?
Yeah,
trying to fill in.
Yeah, yeah. How has it, like, what do you see, like, where do you err when it comes, so when you look at our finances, like, where do you err? Like
Fear.
And like, yeah, where does that come
from? I laugh about that now. But, yeah, I mean, there's a true fear there. I'm constantly battling with the Lord on that. It's a hard issue, but I think it's because, you know, I was at such a crucial age where it was like, you know, if we don't have, then we don't have, and this is, you know, I don't know.
Ever fear that, like life was going to be ruined because of money, or like what is that, what do you think that fear stems from?
Yeah, I think it stems from just I can't think of the word right now. Like you said, it's late in our world. Not discontentment, because I really don't think that's the issue. It's more of just a nervousness of, like what you said. Yeah. So, like, the rug was, like, ripped out from underneath me. Mm-hmm. One day we were fine, and the next day, like, it all kind of blew up in my face, and I realized, oh, we're not fine. We haven't been fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, so.
So and I mean,
most of y'all won't know, like, don't know the fact that, like, they had, like, a house that was on a few acres, new build, like, swimming pool, like, yeah, like, it just seemed like you were living the American dream in a sense. And then, like, the next few months, like y'all were in a rental, or you know, mm-hmm. like it mm-hmm. was like your house mm-hmm. was taken away, and
mm-hmm.
or you had to.
Yeah,
sell
at
it.
A young age, I feel like it was just like,
yeah.
you know, I have an optimistic personality, so it was just like, oh, we have no furniture in the basement now. Party, dance party, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'd still invite friends over, and we had nothing, but
yeah,
you know, I just tried to make a light note of it. But now realizing, you know, the deeper I grow in relationship with the Lord, the more mm-hmm. we come together with our differences, the more we look at our finances and our budget, you know, it's like I'm confronted with some real deep heart issues.
Yeah. So yeah, so where has that caused you to lean? So how would you identify how you view money?
I am frugal.
Yeah.
And I err on the side of you can never have enough cushion.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I found in our marriage is like, well, actually, let me explain my
friend. Yeah, let's go your background.
Yeah, so my background is, so single mother, raised by a single mother, strong single mother. Who worked her tail off, and she, you know, worked hard to provide for me, and even like, you know, I don't remember necessarily having a ton of things, but when we had money, like we spent it, and so I felt like, I guess the mentality now that I've gotten older and I've kind of identified like my relationship with money is like, it's like this. I mean, we weren't poor. We were lower class, probably, in American standards. Which, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother podcast about how we abuse money in America, or how we view poverty or whatnot in America. Which there is true poverty, so I don't want to say that there's not. But we, compared to the rest of the world, you know, we were okay. Like our bills were being paid, and whatnot. But I remember, like, for instance, tax refund season. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember us ever talking about, like, hey, like, this is going to go into savings for college. Mm-hmm. Although college was, like, a non-negotiable. Like, you have to go to college. I remember being like, hey, oh, tax refund season, I'm about to re-up on some shoes, I'm about to get this, I'm about to get that, like all these things that we couldn't afford, these luxuries that we couldn't afford throughout the year, like this is where we you know Parks and Rec, treat yourself, like that's like yeah. that's when you treat yourself. Mm-hmm. And so
man, I don't even remember tax refund growing up.
Yeah, like, I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah, like it was a celebration for me, like in a sense, because I knew, like, man, I was going to eat some good food. I was going to have, so I'm from Florida, so I was going to eat some crab legs, you know, ooh. Like, you know, just like that. Like, we were going to go out to eat. And that's no knock on my mom. I think that, like, you do the best that you can do, you know, with the information that you have. And, you know, I think about me being in that situation, like I probably would do the same thing, right? Like that, you know, it's just me and my son, and like we're just gonna, like I wanna use this time to like celebrate and whatnot. So, but I mean, I think the error that's caused for me, and it's not her fault, it's my fault, is that like while you're super frugal, you're super frugal, I am a super spender. Like, like, she's like, hey,
love
man.
Love you. Nothing but love, babe.
Yeah. I am a super, super spender. So much to the point to where, like, it's almost like this weird, like, gratifying, like, desire, and I've identified it is like impulsive, you know, like it's almost like a high that you get from spending money. And so like what that causes is when I remember when we first got married, right, and we were like I don't know. I just remember like little things like, why is she freaking out about like spend, like we have money, like we have the money, like I can spend it, and you being like, we need to save, and I was like, I just don't see what you're saying. Like we have money, and so that's really caused like a not a tension, but just like a real like, all right, we need to figure this. We need to figure this thing out. So. Yeah. So that's sort of my background. So you have two different crosswords, and I mean, you know, I was listening to the comedian Kev on stage, and him and his wife have a podcast, and they had one talked about like when a dreamer is married to a planner, like when you know when that crossroads come, and it's crazy because like we're both in that same category. Like I'm a spender and I am a dreamer, and Caitlin is a planner and she's very frugal, and so
but I'm not very planning.
Oh no, that's not true.
I just like stability.
Yeah, I mean, and
instability.
Yeah,
for those of you that were listening, that's what I was trying to think of, that word.
Yeah, instability. Like that's what it causes. Instability for you. So and then when I spend, for instance, like
if we aren't
go ahead
black and white with where our money is going,
yeah, like if Caitlin so what we also do is I kind of set the budget, and then I let you like day-to-day manage, like, hey, this needs to get paid, and you just kind of follow up with me like, hey, this was this much, and I'm like, okay. But if I buy something that she
is not on my
that
paper,
that is not on her little notebook, that's sitting right here staring at me with eyes of death. If I spend something that's not on that, my goodness, like I that's what we have a heart-to-heart conversation. It's the heat kicking on. So talk to me about just like, yeah, how was that? Like, when you figured out, when we got married, because we didn't, I mean, we kind of talked about this in premarital counseling, but not a ton.
I mean, but my money was my money, and your money was your money, I love giving gifts, and so.
She was like, oh, this is why he was spending all that money on me when we were dating, because he just spent his money. How was that? Like, what was that realization for you?
I mean, it was hard. It was real hard because here I am. How old was I when we got married? 25?
No, you were 26, so that 26? Was 24.
All right, 26. Yeah. I was living on my own by 19. Yeah. So those 5, 7, math people, come on. 7 years? 26. Yeah, 7 years. My money was my money.
Yeah.
And I sat down with my little notepad, not the same one that's right beside me, but a different one.
Freaking notepad, man. If y'all ever come to our house, Des Moines people, ask to see the notepad.
No, don't ask.
It has coffee and baby spit up and everything. And I'm like, you can do this online. She's like, nope.
No.
Nope. I need to write it down. I'm like, you know what?
It's pen and right. paper. That's how I roll.
Yeah. I finally convinced her to at least let me make one online.
He can do that.
From the one that's on the paper. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was like a true reckoning point for us. If we didn't sit down, it would have become a thorn, I think. No, but I think it's led to a lot of great, deep emotional heart-to-hearts, like you were saying, that we needed. But also it brought up, like, when you get married, they're straight two sinners coming together, people. Yeah. Like two different people, whether or not we grew up alike or not alike, like our story, we are two very different people, you know. And so
Yeah.
I mean, I think it brought a little bit of fear, a little bit of like, oh gosh, like, how am I going to get them over to my side? which is not right either.
Yeah. Dang, that's good. Yeah, I've thought that too, you know, like, yeah, I remember just feeling like, and that podcast, the Dreamer Planner podcast, I'll put that link in the show notes. That, like, I felt like, so for instance, I was doing a little bit more music than I'm doing now. And so, like, most of my spending would be, like, music equipment, or, like, I'd be always browsing, like, you know, I still do that now. Kind of, like, find music equipment deals or whatnot. And I was like, man, like, does she not trust me? Does she not, like, support my dreams? Like, I need to convince her that, like, you know, this is, like, she just needs to wake up. And like, or here's the compliment. Here's the wrong complimentarian in me. She just needs to be quiet and follow me. And I wouldn't say that out loud, but that was like my heart, you know, like my heart.
That would have sparked some of my
I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. That's so funny. And so I think what I've had to learn is, like, you know, like, one, you know, scripture says that that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And so I had to trust that, like, the Lord placed you in my life for my good, you know, that, like, when God in Genesis 1 tells Adam that it's not good for him to be alone, like, the fact that I was alone was not good. And now that I had you, like, this is the Lord, like, giving me good. And so I think and I'm still on this journey, but, like, it took a while for me to see that the way that I viewed money was hurtful to you, and ultimately it was hurtful for myself, because I wasn't allowing God to use the good gift of you in my life to make me more like him. So, yeah, I mean, there have been a few things that have caused that. I specifically remember when we were on staff with a college Christian organization, and we were raising support, and just, like, I mean, we were barely making it. And I refused to, like, get a part-time job. Like, I was like, no, the Lord's called me to this. And, like, if we struggle, like, it's for the Lord. Like, you know, I was like, Jesus was poor. And, yeah, I mean, he was poor. But, like, my wife's, like, in tears. Like, we've been married less than 6 months. And, like, you know, like, you're in tears because you're like, I don't know how we're going to pay rent. Like, and I just wasn't considerate. I wasn't considering that the Lord was, like, trying to refine me and give me a proper view of money. So
you ended up getting a part-time job.
I did get a part-time job. It took me 5 months to do it, but I did it
once he knew a baby was coming.
I know. I was like, oh, well, no, that was before.
Was it? I don't,
that was before timeline. Oh, so it might have been, shoot, it might have, yeah, it might have been like 3 months then, because we got pregnant with Zion like 5 months. But yeah, so
our joy.
Yeah, and it was good. And even Zion, like, he man, just like being like, okay, I got a baby. And so that we end up coming off staff because of that. We still raise support. But after, you know, I was interning at the church, in our church at the time, like, and that was coming to an end, and we were moving to Des Moines to be a part of Frontier, I was like, I have to work, you know. And then so that was 2016. When did we move here? Was it 16 or 17?
No, 16, because Ezra was born in 17.
Yeah, so in 2016 we moved here, and I, you know, I got a job, and I was like, hey, I still want to be a pastor, I still want to, you know, pursue church planning, da da da, like all this stuff that I had. But I was like, I have to, like, something has to change, because, like, I am not going to be effective in the, like, you know, I was saying I want a church plant, but, like, I hadn't had a proper plan in place to eliminate my debt, you know. So it's just like, if I can't steward myself, if I can't lead myself, how the heck am I gonna ask, you know, God to help me lead a church?
So Luke 16:10. Preach.
Yeah, I mean, is that what it says?
What does it say? One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in little is also dishonest in much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Comes to mind.
Yeah. So, as we wrap up, like, what do you feel like? How has the gospel informed your view of money? So we talked about kind of like the bad side of money, but like, how is the gospel shaping your view of money? How is the gospel shaping your view of money?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the gospel tells me to be self-disciplined. And I feel like that comes up a lot, you know, even in my own heart with just dealing with money and our family and our finances. Mm-hmm. Be more diligent, and I think that that's kind of where we're at now, is like, man, you know, the past is the past. Let's look to the future and trust the Lord that what we had to trudge through these past 4 years, you know, are for a greater purpose. And, you know, our money is not our money. It's His. And so how can we steward it the best? And I think that that's where the gospel just preaches to my heart, to be self-disciplined, to trust Him with what He has given.
And even, I mean, just even in your leanings, though, like, how has that been helping you? Because we've talked about this, but I just want to say it on, you know what I'm saying? Like, how, because you are a
saver,
extreme saver, I would say. Like,
I mean, I think because I take that extreme, and the gospel is just, I mean, changed my view of bringing you over to the dark side. No. No, I mean, it's a little bit of compromise. It's, you know, let's talk this through. Let's bring it before the Lord. Not having that fear of money, having the right reverent fear of the Lord and trusting Him.
I would even say I've noticed that, like, you're growing and, like, loosening your grip, right? And, like, being like, Lord, like, this is your money, like, and it's allowed us to actually give more than I think we feel comfortable with.
And then we
to the mission
have,
to the mission of God, and honestly, like, that's why we're working to get more financially stable and out of debt more, because, like, we want to, like, not only give our lives to missions, but, like, want to give our monies to it as well, because, like, we think that the gospel is worth it. I think that the gospel's been really cool, working really, really cool in me, especially this past year. For some reason, like, the Lord has really been he's been revealing, like, my unhealthy view of money, and how, like, you know, that's that verse that says, like, that he who doesn't care for their family is worse than an unbeliever. And, like, my impulsive spending, and it's just, like, here, like, you know, like, my lack of planning, because I'd be like, I'll just go out and get a sandwich, or I'll go out and do this or that, like, y'all are affected by it. And I think that the gospel is just showing me that, like you said, like, this money isn't mine, like, this is the Lord's, and it's just showing me, like, self-control, that, like, the Lord has, you know, in 2 Peter, Peter says, his divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That, like, when I was saved, like, the Lord gave me everything that I needed to live a godly life, including self-control. God is slowly and surely giving me more self-control in that area, because like I said, growing up, like, I was just like, if I got money, like, I gotta spend this. And honestly, like, you know, there's this book called When Helping Hurts, that's what I do at my job. We kind of base our organization on that book. And it says that, like, people who are in a constant state of poverty, like, they overspend because, like, they feel like this is the last thing they're going to get, you know? So it's like, well, I have it, I need to spend it. And that's sort of where I came from. And but what the gospel is telling me is that, like, he's saying, like, bro, like, God's saying, like, bro, I have riches that you do not know of, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, there is so much more in the kingdom of God than finances. And then, lastly, just Matthew 6:33, which has kind of been our family's, like, life verse, is that, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and, like, all these things will be added to you. Like, and that's saying, like, not in access, but the Lord is going to give us, you know, the sign that's right in our kitchen, like, give us this day our daily bread. Like, that the Lord, like...
And do not be anxious.
Yeah.
The verses that follow.
Yeah. Like, do not be anxious. That the Lord who... That God who feeds the birds. Like, the birds, like, it says they neither sow nor reap, but they're, like, they're still eating.
Mm-hmm. It's saying And growing and multiplying.
It says that God is doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just... they're not just figuring out a way, but, like, the Lord is, like, literally stretching his hand out and feeding the birds. And he says that, like, how much more, like, will he provide for us? And so that's been really cool. As I've thought about, like, okay, Carlos, like, you don't, like, it's not, like, it's okay. Like, it's like, the Lord is going to take care of you. You don't have to spend like you're never going to have any more money.
Mm-hmm. And Kate, money is not your master. Yeah. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah. 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 So we're still learning. We'd love for you guys to interact with this podcast. We'd love for you to share how, if you're married, like, how you guys wrestle through money. If you're single, like, what are the ways that you wrestle through it? Because, like, I mean, it is a gift. It's a gift from God that we don't deserve.
But there's a means in which we live.
Yeah. And it's a means to grow us closer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, without our backgrounds and God bringing us together, like, we wouldn't be. I keep thinking of refined, because, like, that's what Cole preached on today.
Oh, yep, yeah.
Refined by the fire. Yeah. It was so
good.
That was good.
Last word.
I know. That God's using each other to refine. That we're not at odds, right?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, that we're not at odds, that we are on the same team. So, any last parting words? Words of advice?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Pray.
Pray.
And pray together.
Yeah.
If you are married.
Yeah, pray together. We're learning how to do that better, too, so... and this podcast just helps us, you know, communicate on that stuff as well. So
all the emoji hard eyes.
So this is At the Table Podcast, episode 2. If you missed episode 1, explaining what this podcast is going to be sure to go back and listen. Make sure that you subscribe and share. We'd love to get this podcast out to as many people as possible. Because we want to share what the Lord is doing, and we want to interact with you guys. And I just really do believe that most people probably struggle with the same things, and most people go through the same experiences. So let's at least do it together. So this is At the Table Podcast. Thanks for listening.